The Level Down Games podcast for February 9th, 2021 is presented by leveldowngames.com.
Bronk.
What up, TB?
What do you think my next move should be? Give it to me straight. Maybe it's just time I hang him up.
I got one word for you. Retirement. If you retire now, you're going to be walking on soft sand in a week.
Just come to Florida
and feel the wind in your hair. Retirement is like winning another one. Maybe I'll even join you.
On the Spotty Network, this is what Tom heard.
If you retire now, you're soft and weak.
Just come to Florida and win another one.
Maybe I'll even join you.
Just go win another one.
Like it's that easy, Gronk. Maybe it is.
I still feel like I have a lot to accomplish.
My goal is to win one more.
And Gronk's coming with me.
I'm retired from retiring?
Mom, where are my football pants?
Don't trust big decisions to just any network. Go with T-Mobile, the GOAT in 5G.
And I'm not soft or weak either.
I'm your host, Brian, and joining me on the show this morning, host of the Media Files every single Friday, it is Kyle.
Man, I forgot what it was like to be here.
Forgot what it was like to hear your sexy voice every Saturday morning.
These deep baritone growls.
Oh, yeah.
Good morning, Brian. Good morning, Daniel. Good morning, Sean.
Nice having you back this week.
Yeah.
Also here, co-host of Hit Our Music and All Elite Wrestling Podcast every single Thursday. It is Dan.
What is going on, everybody?
Glad you could be here as well. The crew is back together. The sounds are also there because rounding out the crew this week, the guy in the sound booth, the one with all the sounds, it's Sean.
What?
What's popping?
Nice of you to be back as well, Sean. Nice
Thank
of
you,
you
sir.
To be here. Yeah.
The boys are back in town.
Yeah, man. Sorry about that, guys. I know some people only listen to the show for yours truly. It's just the diabetes got me.
Oh, the diabetes.
Special shout out to Midnight Playtime and Neon Dan over on Twitter at Neon Dan TV for providing the music to the Level Down Games podcast. Go check him out over on Twitter and hit up his Bandcamp at midnightplaytime.bandcamp.com to listen to more really excellent synthwave vibes. We got a jam-packed show this week. I'm actually really excited to get in there and talk about the games that we're going to be discussing. We have a beefed-up lightning round for later on, and then we'll talk some Super Bowl as well, because as of the time of recording, the Super Bowl has yet to happen. As of the time that you're listening to it, it's old news, but that's okay. Still going to talk about it.
I mean, what else are we going to talk about?
I know. Well, we got a lot to talk about this week. But diabetes. Let's kick things off this week. Kyle, you're talking Destruction All-Stars this week.
Have you been enjoying that game? Okay, let's talk some Destruction All-Stars, because boy, do I have some thoughts about this. I have not yet penned my review for leveldowngames.com, which I will be soon, hopefully. Fingers crossed all things pan out for me. But I'm a little tired this morning because I was up way too late playing Destruction All-Stars last night. And it is... It's become my new sit down and I've got 10 minutes to do something game. You know, these matches go by so quick and they're so fast to jump into and jump out of that it's really easy to just sit down for a few minutes and play a couple rounds of Destruction All-Stars. Now, Destruction All-Stars is this destruction derby. There are, I think it's 16 different characters that more or less play the same. Each one gets two different ultimate abilities, one for the character and one for their super powered, whatever, car, right? And you pick your character based on what you want those two abilities to be that you can use once or twice a round, typically. If you're lucky, you get it off twice a round, but typically, you know, once is pretty typical for everybody. And all of the abilities are pretty different from each other. There's a couple that feel like, I mean, kind of like repeats, you know? But other than that, they all are pretty unique. There's four different game modes, one of which is kind of seems to be the main game mode. 16 people are in an arena. Whoever causes the most damage and destruction, you rack up points and you win the round by getting the most points at the end of the round. Then there's a battle royale type version where you've got one life and the floor under you starts disappearing and you have to be the last person left on the floor. And then there's two game modes where it's 8v8 and you have to kind of collect points and bank them or put them into your team's stockpile. So there's a lot of different things to do in this game. I'm surprised that they launched the game with four different modes because that seems like a lot. Most of these types of games usually launch with one or two, and because they want to keep everybody kind of condensed into one queue of players, right? Well, four different game modes, and I've not had any trouble getting into any of them. So it seems like this game has attracted a lot of early attention, and people are playing it, you know, pretty frequently and pretty late into the night because I didn't have any time getting into games early this morning. There are some really weird decisions that were made in terms of the controls of the cars and the way the maps are formed. The maps are pretty dynamic. There's posts that come out of the ground and parts of the ground that drop out and fire that appears in certain spots. So some really interesting decisions. And the game can get really frustrating, too. The cars can be really difficult to control, and everybody's moving at such high speed that for a game where the entire point of the game is hitting other people, you're moving at high speed, everyone else is moving at high speed, it can be really difficult and really frustrating to have a good round and rack up enough points. Now, that being said, when you do, and once you start to get used to it, you start to see some really good results, and that's when it gets pretty fun. But there is a lot of frustration going into this game in the early few rounds and the first few hours that you pick up that controller and play because it is difficult to do.
I think a lot of it has to do with the imbalance of the characters as well, though.
Yeah, that's huge right now.
Because there are certain characters that everybody is leaning toward, and you can select, you know, a certain character X amount of times before you can no longer do so. And I think
right.
It's
not all
three.
16 players can be.
I think it's, yeah, it's like three. I think you can.
Is it three or four?
Three or four, depending on one of the modes is two. One of them is four, I think.
Okay. Yeah. So I think it varies. You can tell by the circles that are on each character's like portrait and the character select screen. As characters pick them, the little circles will disappear. And then once everybody's picked them, the characters grayed out.
Right.
So everybody's kind of gravitating toward Blue Fang, which is the character that has the Shredder as his car, which is the thing with the stuff on the front, like the it's just a Shredder.
Yeah, he turns into this tank, and becomes absolutely indestructible and just mows down everybody that he runs over. And it's I will say that of the matches that I've played, a decent portion of them are won by a Blue Fang.
Yes. No.
Same here.
Blue Fang generally is the one standing on the podium at the end.
Yes.
either him,
an absorbent amount.
Lupita is up there a lot. Gian is up there a lot.
Right.
Those are the three most popular. And then everybody else. There's still a couple other characters that are somewhat decent and usable, but there's like three or four that are just there for looks almost.
Yes.
Kyle, you and I were playing one, Mr. Sparkles or whatever, whoever that character is.
Riot Sparkles. Riot Twinkle?
Something like that. That character, they are awful when it comes to their hero abilities and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
But the character is just really cool looking.
Yeah. And when you jump into a car, the car kind of morphs into your version of that car. Mm-hmm. Which is also a really neat touch. And so if you pay attention to the cars that are driving around, you can tell like which character is driving that car because every time they get into it, it turns into their own unique version of it. And you can buy skins and cosmetics to change the way your character looks, change the way your cars look. And that's pretty neat. I've found that those are mostly like inconsequential because everybody's moving so fast that you don't really tell what skins they're using anyways. But it is kind of a neat touch. Now, Twilight Sparkle's the one. Is it Riot Sparkle? It's
Twilight Sparkle's like that.
I think Twilight Sparkle's a My Little Pony. It's like Riot Twinkles. So I whatever it is. She's basically D.Va from Overwatch. And that one is really easy to see because every time she jumps into a car, it sprouts like cat ears.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, it's cute. And she's kind of funny and she prances around the map and it's neat. But yeah, she doesn't get played a lot. But I've been playing a lot. There's one character that doesn't get played a lot. I play a lot of Lupita. She gets played a lot. But Angelo's the one that nobody really picks, but I do like him. He's got kind of a neat moveset. And, you know,
now which one is that?
I like the stealth guy. That's my go-to guy.
Oh, Shift is the stealth guy. He goes invisible and his car will go invisible too.
Which one is Angelo? Is this,
he wears a, he's got like an open-chested vest, lots of tattoos on his arms, and his two abilities, when he's a human, he a lot of camera flashes start going off, and so he's difficult to see. And then when he's in a car, he can lock onto a car and for the next minute, he does extra damage to that car, extra speed and extra damage when chasing that car.
Got it. Okay. Because I've noticed that when like driving around, that little red targeting thing that'll pop up.
Yeah. Yep. That's Angelo. Now, the main mode is Mayhem, like I said, where you just collect points by wrecking people and hitting people. That one is fun. But I also found myself getting bored with that game pretty quickly. Now, Carnado, there's a tornado in the middle of the map. It's 8v8. You don't get damaged when you hit cars of your own team. You still spin out and stuff, and that gets annoying. But the more you hit people, the more you kind of rack up these points, and the faster they rack up, the more you go. Now, your car is also getting damaged, and your points are tied to your car. If you want to bank those points for your team, you have to drive into the tornado in the middle of the map. Otherwise, if the car explodes, you lose all of your points.
It's so much fun. I was just telling Dan about the mode the other night because he had only played the solo ones. I've been having so much fun with Carnado.
Carnado, I think, is probably my favorite round overall right now. I do like the Battle Royale map. It ends way too quickly because I'm bad. But Mayhem and Carnado are the two that I've been gravitating towards.
Oh, man. Dan, I guess we could talk a little Blue Fire.
Yeah, let's talk about it. It's going to be quick. The game's frustrating. I hate it. Quick. I love it. Done.
What? Wait, what? You hate it? You love it? What? Where are you at? I bought it on the Switch.
I think I'm like 5 hours in and I'm about 17% done. So.
Okay, so you are still further than me. Have you made it to the forest shrine area?
Yes, I have.
I'm in the sewers.
I love this game. There's some puzzle elements to it that are very frustrating. Definitely ragey. My wife, I was playing last night a little bit off stream because I didn't want to fall asleep on stream because I was very tired. my wife could hear me raging in the living room as I was sitting here. I was yelling at the damn screen. So it was very frustrating. Having a lot of fun with it. The few gripes that I have is I feel lost a little bit sometimes, like I'm not exactly sure what I should be doing. So you kind of just like start out and you're just a dude. Just you break out of this like glass looking tube thing, like you've just been sitting there forever. You break out, you know, you're just walking around trying to collect yourself. There's a few like little blue things on the ground and you can inspect them and it kind of tells you like things you can do, like, you know, getting you ready, like weapons, stuff like that. But you can
hold
you,
on. I missed one here. There we go.
Oh, sorry. The unit. I don't think I'll need something. I need something to like shock me so I can stop saying, you know,
like a shock collar.
Yeah, that's what I need. So I just get wrapped up. I just go. So I will try to stop. It'll just turn
into
fun. It's not fun. It's a lot of fun. So you're going, you're learning the thing, you know, like the typical stuff you do. Jesus criminy. I've lost my train of thought.
So Blue Fire is basically this Souls-like mixed with, like, there's heavy platforming. And it's brutal platforming. Kyle, you need to pick this game up. You would absolutely love it. But
I was watching Dan stream it for a while, and I thought it looked pretty fun.
Well, it's this combination of Souls and Zelda, but
It's got some like Hollow Knight to it too. Like
there's definite
die.
Hollow Knight. There's definite other things. Like obviously you have to go back and get your souls or whatever when you die. And
I lost like 2,000 and I'm not happy about it. Last night I yelled very loud. I died trying to go back to my dead body to go get my ores.
And when you die,
you start
on your
over.
Way back to pick up your stuff disappears the next time you die.
I'm still angry about it this morning right now. I was 2,000.
That's a classic Souls thing. So,
yeah. So,
but yeah. I think that's really all that it borrows from Souls, because the combat is not nearly as difficult as it is in games like Dark Souls or Bloodborne or anything like that. And the shrines that you can save at and that kind of stuff, they don't reset the enemies when you go to them. Normally a Souls games will, like, when you go to a bonfire or a lantern or whatever, which is basically acts as your save point and way to spend currency and points or whatever, the enemies will come back all across the maps. And that doesn't happen here. The only way that they do is if you, like, either die completely or start all the way over. At least from what I've noticed up to the sewers.
That's kind of an interesting change to the game, because that is kind of a hallmark of those games, is that they respawn once you save. That's a risk you take, you know.
Right. Well, that's what I was trying to say. Like, it's not deep into the Souls, like it is this blend of Zelda and Dark Souls with some brutal platforming, and these like, I don't know exactly what they are. They're not shrines, but they're like little void artifacts or whatever.
Is that what you're talking about when you jump into the void and you got to go in and do the platforming?
Yeah.
And you have to try to collect.
Those segments are so much fun.
They are. I wish it, when you jumped into one, it wouldn't let you jump into it if you haven't learned a skill to do. There's a few times I've jumped into them and I can't do it because I haven't learned the skill yet, whether it's like double jumping or jumping off the walls. You have to kind of learn those as you go.
Okay, so you've gotten to the point where you are getting to them and you... Okay, so I've only done what... Because you start with 4 hearts and then each time you finish one, you gain an addition... I think I've done 4 because I have 8 hearts.
I think I can't remember how many I have. I have quite a... I think I've completed 4, but I've started 2 or 3 others that I can't complete. Now,
okay.
I did just learn jumping off of walls and wall running, but that's just a little bit of the game that I don't like right now, is that it just, I feel lost. Like I don't have a lot of direction. Like I'm kind of just going around. I'm like, oh, let's go here. Let's go here.
That's the point.
Okay. Well, I don't know. It just makes me feel lost.
There's no maps
like,
in these games.
No, I know.
In Souls games, there's no maps or anything like that. So, the point is literally just to wander around and find your way.
Well, and it's a bit frustrating because I feel like I should have already like got some spirits, which are kind of like badges like you have in Hollow Knight that help you. I think the one that I just unlocked, I can maneuver a little bit faster, which will help get over like longer jumps. So I've been trying to like go remember places that I couldn't jump. And it's very, you know, you're going back and trying to find. I guess I wish there was a little bit easier way to, I wish you could use the statues that you find to kind of fast travel back, which would be kind of cool.
So I'm wondering how far I am away from the forest area, the forest shrine, because I've done 4 of those void artifacts as well. And if you've done right around 4 and I've got to be close to you. You're 5 hours in?
Yeah.
Damn. Okay.
Yeah. It's going to take me longer. You told me when I got this that it was getting beaten about 12 hours. I'm not going to have it beaten in 12 hours. And I'm not even like dicking around. I'm literally just, I'm struggling with some of the platforming for sure. Like it's very, I'm having fun with it, but it's very difficult. Some of them are very difficult.
I jumped in for the first time last night, middle of the night. It was probably like 2, right around 2 a.m. when I started it. Because it's like I took my Switch in the living room after I was done in here putting the script together for the show. And I had, you know, was downloading it during the process. So I wanted to check it out before I went to sleep so that way I could have some experience with it for the show today. I think I ended up playing till just before 4 a.m. and I'm where I'm at now. So I'm less than 2 hours into the game. And I've caught everything that there really much is to do, because I've explored every corridor and, you know, found the dead ends, and I know what I need to go back to. So I think I've pretty much caught up to you in like less than half the time.
That would make sense. I guess I'm a slow, I don't know, a slow explorer. And I'm trying to play a little bit differently because I am will be writing the review for leveldowngames.com, hoping to have that done by Sunday. That's the game plan.
But I know, yes, you said you were 17%. I'm looking now. I'm 12%. So
yeah, I think 17%. Yeah, because yeah, I've done a little bit of the
I'm knocking
the
on your door.
Yeah, you're knocking on that back door.
Knock, knock, knocking on
Daddy's door.
Nobody wants to knock on Dan's door when he's playing that blue fire.
Yeah,
good call. Shooting out the blue fire.
Yeah, blame the Chipotle I had for dinner last night.
The other game that I have been playing this week, finally released, known around these parts as Yes Nine, Monstrum Nox. Of course, we're talking Ease Nine, Monstrum Nox.
That's one of the best things to come out of that Thunderdome episode, man. That's that was the hit.
Sean, so let me ask you this. Are you going to pick up Ease Nine? Because you probably should.
All right. I don't know. I struggle because I really wanted to get into Lacrimosa of Donna. And when you talked about it, when you played it on stream,
I'm mad that you still haven't, because it's still a better game than Ease 9. Ease 8 is still the better game, at least where I'm at up to this point. And I don't think that's going to change. Ease 9 is a very different Ease style game.
I think I'm afraid because you've mentioned in this one, there's a lot of callbacks.
There are. No, there are. That's why I was asking if you were going to jump in. I think for the first time, and really the developers dove into the backstories of Adel a lot more than they ever have before. Now, the Ease games are always connected, I guess, but more or less they're connected through the protagonist, Adel Kristen, who is this adventurer and basically goes around the world. And, you know, the games are just different chapters of his life. And it's telling you like all these incredible things that he's done. So it's a pretty cool franchise in that regard. And every entry takes you to a different place of this world. But Ease 9 is taking place at the end of the timeline because it's referencing things that happened in 8 and 7 and 6. I think that's it so far. Can't think of any. No, I think there was a reference to 5 as well. But There are all of these things that are connecting it together in Ease 9. And I think you can jump into this and still appreciate and enjoy it without having any knowledge of what happened in prior Ease games, because this one is more self-contained, I guess, where Memories of Celceta, which was a remake of Ease 4. So I guess there's some references to that one as well. And then Ease 8, the two most recent ones to release in the series, were more open, I guess. Like when you went out into the world, there were still boundaries that you couldn't cross in terms of like exploring, but they felt open, sort of like a Monster Hunter area type of a thing. But in Monstrum Nox, it takes place in the prison city of Balduk. And to my knowledge, to the point where I'm at least, and everything that I've seen on this game, the entire thing takes place within this city. Now, within the walls of the city, there are, you know, there's still dungeons. There's the Grimwald Nox, which is basically this boss. It's not really a boss wave, but it's a wave of enemies that continuously spawn at you until you finish X amount of waves. I think the most I've seen so far is 3 or 4. So there's those as well, which is where a lot of combat comes into play. After you discover the Grimwald Nox, which is really early, like in the first chapter, when you become a monstrum as well, you'll start seeing like little small entrances to the Nox around the town, and you can spawn enemies that way and keep grinding experience or leveling up if you want to. It's not really necessary from what I've noticed so far, just playing on the normal difficulty. I think I've been okay against every single bot. I haven't really struggled too much. I think I'm going to miss certain aspects of the openness of some of the other more recent entries, but I've still been having fun with Ys IX. There's still a lot to love here, and it is still an Ys game. And Ys games are just incredibly fun. The combat is always fluid. It's always smooth. The characters are great. The soundtrack is always great. It's Falcom. So, you know, the JDK sound team over there just really knows what they're doing. And it's the first, like, I know it's not a PlayStation 5 JRPG, but I am playing it on the PS5. So I'm kind of like in my head, like, you know, this is the first JRPG that I'm playing on since the PlayStation 5 release that's come out. So that's kind of nice too, because I haven't even played and finished Final Fantasy VII Remake yet, which I haven't installed on the PS5. So
yeah, I've been stuck on that one, dude. And
have you played any more since or no?
I'm at Shinra Tower right now.
Okay, so you progressed a little bit.
Yeah, I think that the game plays really well on PS5, so I'm excited to play PS4 games on the PS5 in general, even if they're not released for it.
Yeah, like that is something that's in my mind as I'm playing, because I'm noticing that the load times are incredibly fast. Yeah. I probably should install this on the PS4 Pro, because I'm writing the review for it for leveldowngames.com. I probably should put it on there and see if the load times are just as fast or if they are taking advantage of the PS5. Because again, Ys isn't a graphically intensive game. That's how Falcom is able to pump out so many games that they do. Like, you know, they're the studio that is still like Square Enix back from the mid-90s, where they make these 40, 50, 60, 70 plus hour games once per year, if not multiple times per year. And the way that they do that is by, you know, not being cutting edge on the graphics or anything like that. But that's okay, because a lot of people that like these kind of games don't really care that much about graphics.
Well, it's like, you know, when Star Ocean was coming out on like PS2 and it wasn't like cutting edge graphics, but they did it in a way where it felt like it was a best version of what they were doing.
The way that they used to do that was through the full motion videos.
Right.
And then like the actual gameplay itself, you know, because of the technology limitations at the time, didn't look nearly as good. The way that they get around that now in the modern console age is the games, you know, still look behind the times like they always have. But the what used to be full motion videos, now just cutscenes, are all done in anime style because it's faster to do.
Right. And that's kind of what I'm getting at. Like it has that feel to it whenever I see Ys footage. It's very cutting edge in the way the game is built. It just has a different style.
Yeah.
You know, kind of like Wind Waker was. You know, Wind Waker was a cel shade and it wasn't really a system killer, but it was made so well that you looked beyond that.
Yeah. So
yeah, it's a stylistic choice. It's not cutting corners. It's how they want the game to look, and so they do the best at that certain style.
And I would argue the Ys games, they look really good. They're on par with a Final Fantasy VII remake, and people would scoff at that, but
I think
you're an anime. No, I want to sit there and say, like, the games are so well put together, you really do feel like you're in an anime cartoon when you play an Ys game.
Yes, that I can agree with, but like graphically, 7 Remake blows Ys 9 out of the water.
Well, graphically, sure, but the execution is on par with like a 7 Remake. You feel so immersed.
Absolutely. The game is just as fun, and then the world is just as deep. I've been having fun. I like it. It's not as good as Celceta in 8 to up to the point where I'm at. I'm in chapter 4. I didn't play it yesterday, so I didn't really progress much. But I think there's 10 chapters, something like that. So I'm not at that halfway point yet. The game is significantly shorter than some of the more recent entries have been. So it's going back to the more, like I said, not linear, but self-contained, smaller adventure than what they gave us previously. I'm thinking the average is probably around 30 hours from what I've seen. Whereas, wow, you know, some of the more recent ones were like 50 or 60 hours.
Well, didn't you spend like a lot more than that in 8?
I usually spend a lot more time in games. And I usually grind a lot and level up more than I have to, especially if I enjoy the combat.
Right.
Just like I did with Ghost of Tsushima. Because Sev had to put all of our game hours in Discord the other day because everybody's been doing that. I've noticed over the past past week or so. Sean, I noticed you didn't put yours in there. Sean,
I didn't have a I played for 2 months.
Your PlayStation
wrap up.
That's
like walking into the locker room with a 2-incher. And then you walk up next to somebody else who's got like a foot
long
dong.
Kyle, walking up next to Kyle, standing there looking at his chiseled, nude, pristine body there, drying off his hair, not covering anything. He's not ashamed. He's not ashamed of anything. He's letting it all hang out.
Guy's got a $5 foot long hanging from the waist, and I'm walking up with a pea shooter like, hey, man, you want
to
compare?
This sort of beauty wasn't meant to be hid.
What? Yeah, man.
It'd be a crime.
Crime. Oh, man. Yeah. So, Sean, when you're not exploring Midgar still, I've seen you tending to the farm. So tell us about some Stardew Valley updates.
Oh, my gosh, dude. I am beyond sad. Okay. I follow Concerned Ape on Twitter. I have Twitter literally to follow him and Pat McAfee. That's it. Right. And I'm on Twitter and I'm just waiting for him to drop a tweet about how the 1.5 update is finally on console, because the 1.5 update came out a couple months ago for PC. And that's where you can have same screen co-op, couch co-op, and it's split screen and everything else. And right now the multiplayer component for consoles is still only you have to play with somebody on another console. Like it's, you know, online. So my wife and I love Stardew Valley. She farms. We have it on the Switch. I have it on PC. I just bought it on the PlayStation 4 so we could play together because the DualSense controllers are amazing. And I just wanted to play on those, right? You know? So I'm sitting here waiting for this update to drop. So we're prepping. You know, it's like kind of getting ready for the big night. We both have different farms. Like we're playing through, getting used to controls, kind of building our characters up because we don't know if you can go over to the other person's farm and like take your wallet with you and items and stuff. And we, you know, we don't want to be like chump status day one where you knock down 3 trees and go to bed after you planted your turnips. And so we've been playing, we've been getting into it. And I feel like I'm just like sitting here every day, multiple times a day, just popping Twitter, looking for that one tweet, baby. I got it.
Sean, you're like a drug addict for Stardew Valley.
Yeah,
he needs
it's
it.
Bad,
he needs
dude.
That fix.
I'm like,
he needs
Dan
his fix
G-Fuel.
In. Quick, Concerned Ape, come on. Hook him up with that
bro.
Powder.
And Concerned Ape is local, right? So he's from Auburn. I think if I drove to Auburn from my house, it's like 35 minutes. Like, I just want to roll around Auburn and see if I can run into him and be like, bro, Eric, can you get this done or what, dog? Because I'm waiting and I'm sad because I want it to drop before the weekend so we can really put in some time. And then, you know,
is it supposed to be at any time now? Is that how this
yeah.
is? It's
yeah. So certification is the process, right? So he submitted the patch for certification back on the 22nd. And so I'm like Googling like, okay, how long does PS4 certification take? Like, is he going to roll it out all at the same time? Like, does he have to wait for Xbox Switch certification? So I don't know. I don't know how long the process takes. I mean, I've read online that PS4 certs can come sometimes as soon as the same day or sometimes a week later. It's just, I don't know, man. You know, so it's
that's
tough.
Unfortunate. It's out of his hands, you know, that kind of sucks.
But he gives updates on his Twitter. He has a blog on the website. Like, he's actually pretty good to his fans as far as keeping them in the loop. And so I'm just hoping he'll drop a little nugget for his boy, Sean Dog.
Sean, he's gonna tag. Well, you don't have an account. Well, no, I think you do. You have to if you're following
him. It's Sean's the LDG. I don't ever tweet.
Oh, I don't even think you follow me.
I just go on there and creep.
I was gonna say,
I don't think he follows me either.
I just tweeted when we sat down and said because Sean's too cool to have a Twitter, and now I'm being a liar. He actually has a Twitter. He's just a lurker, I guess.
I'm in the lurk mode. I'm in the dark mode, baby.
Yeah, you're only you said you're only following Pat McAfee and Concerned Ape. I even follow
the only
level
reason
down games.
Why I made a the Twitter fuck? Account.
No, I'm just kidding.
The only reason why I made a Twitter account was to follow when that dude was selling turnips back in the day.
Yeah, I remember, and I think you signed
GameStop
up that
stock.
Day. Yeah.
And then we got it done, and I never really opened it again. And then I was listening to Pat McAfee's show one day, and he was like, hey, tweet with this hashtag and enter it in for a chance to win 20 G's. And I was like, I could break the fourth wall on Twitter down for that, you know? So I literally only tweet when Pat McAfee's giving something away.
Nice.
It's for the brand, baby. It's for the brand. So
for the brand.
So Stardew Valley is still fun. I'm loving it. I get on there. I just enjoy it. It's a nice little calming thing for me. Full disclosure, you know, one of the side effects of one the things that I'm going through is increased anxiety. I put on that Stardew. It helps me a lot with that. So it's just it's been a really good relaxing game lately. And I've been playing more of it because I've been needing to relax more instead of taking out President Shinra. Plus, Final Fantasy Remake is kind of stressful sometimes.
Okay, yeah, it can be.
Like, that game's effing hard sometimes, dude, because I just want to go in and slash. I don't want to, like, block and freaking run around for 15 minutes in a battle. Like, there are some battles in that game.
So basically play a JRPG?
Well, no. I mean, I'm used to turn-based JRPGs.
Sure.
I've legit, like, when I fought Rude in the rodeo ring by Aerith's house, I had to switch to her and literally run in circles around the perimeter of the map for like 5 minutes and use an ability every so often because he was kicking my teeth in that bad.
There was a boss fight where I did the same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, like, that's a legit strat,
how
Sean.
Life is supposed
that's
to
a strat.
that's a Floyd Mayweather strat.
That's a strat right there.
We're a Conor McGregor household. We want to go in.
Well, he got knocked out pretty quick, so.
He did get knocked the F out, though. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So what happened to that boy? But anyways, that's the sad anus for this week. Sean just going on about Stardew Valley, waiting for updates to drop. I'll have more on that when it actually pops.
I think it's important to mention the ability to relax from playing Stardew, because as we're going to see when we get to Kickstart My Heart later, and a big trend more recently, obviously with a lot of games that we've talked about on that segment and in this podcast, farming simulation games are more popular than ever, dude.
Oh yeah, dude.
Like there's a plethora of them,
popular.
And more coming, and better ones coming.
Hello everybody, it's Kyle from the Media Files. And if you don't know what the Media Files is, what are you even doing? The Media Files is a pop culture review to help you get through those boring water cooler conversations. Every episode, a special guest and I will be talking about something happening in pop culture, whether it's movies, television, music, books, sports, video games, you name it, we'll talk about it. Subscribe to the Media Files on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts, and we'll see you there.
Sean, we got a beefy lightning round. Hit me with that music.
Oh, you must be talking about that.
It's good to have some news to talk about again. There's a lot of things here in the Sean Waltman Lightning Round. I think what we're going to have to do, this is an episode to embrace change, as we'll talk about here in the next segment. I think we should scrap the time limit. Some weeks are going to be shorter. Like we've had the past, like, what, 5 or 6 weeks in a row, the lightning round has barely hit 8 or 10 minutes.
Yeah, but it was like a 1995 Sean Waltman the last couple weeks. This one is a 2021.
There's going to be
Sean
some weeks
Waltman.
Where we have an overweight Sean Waltman. Yeah.
Yeah. This one is like,
there's gonna be
going
some weeks.
To Sonic every day and getting a milkshake and some tots.
But Sean, we got to make sure it stays a lightning round, though. That's the point.
Yeah. The lightning round, quick hits. You know, we can't spend a minute talking about each one. Quick hits. It's still a lightning round. But I'm just saying, get rid of the 10 minutes because there's no way we're going to get through today in 10 minutes.
Are you afraid? Like what? You're not. Are you? We can do it.
Okay, no, Sean. 10 minutes on the clock. Put it on there. Let's do it. 10 minutes on the clock. The time limit stays. You've changed my mind.
Clock out.
I've got my clock right here. I got my stopwatch up and ready to go.
Are you going to time it?
I'll time it. The lightning round begins right now. The Nintendo Switch is on freaking fire. As of December 31st, the Switch is now at 79.87 million units worldwide. A total of 11.57 million were sold just during Q4 of last year. A couple other crazy things to pull out of this press release that Nintendo put out last week. Animal Crossing New Horizons is the first console exclusive title of all time, not just Nintendo, of all time, to sell over 30 million units in a single calendar year. As of December 31st, it's sitting at 31.18 million units sold, just under Mario Kart 8 Deluxe, which is still holding the number one spot of best-selling Switch title at 33.4 million. Analysts are predicting that by the end of 2021, the Switch will surpass the Wii sales and eclipse 100 million units sold. Kyle!
The PlayStation 5, which launched back on November 12th, shipped out 4.5 million units worldwide by the end of last year. Sony has stated that they are currently on track to meet their forecast of 7.6 million units shipped by March 31st. In addition, worldwide total shipments for the PS4 have now exceeded 115 million units. This currently places the PS4 as the fourth best-selling console of all time. The Switch currently is in 11th and is just under the Game Boy and Game Boy Color's numbers of 118.69 million. Sometime this year, the PS4 will pass that and likely stop there as the third best-selling console of all time, and it's unlikely to reach the Nintendo DS, which is at 154.02 million units sold worldwide. Fun fact, number one is the PS2 still at 157.7 million units sold worldwide.
Dog, we are in an elite echelon. 4.5 million people of the world have a PS5. We are four of them. How did that happen?
How crazy is that?
And the shortages that continue, the scalping that still continues. I still can't believe all four of us got one.
Yeah, that's impressive.
Sean, take this next one here.
Google will shut down its Stadia Games and Entertainment Studios and no longer will be investing in internal exclusive content beyond their near-term planned titles. Jade Raymond, the former boss of the studio and ex-Ubisoft employee, has left the company entirely to pursue other opportunities. Google has said they will now shift their focus to building upon Stadia's technology for industry partners and deepening their business partnerships.
Yeah, I mean, I think we all saw this coming. They haven't killed off Stadia completely yet, but this is the first step, definitely.
Oh, indeed, yeah.
Well, I think we'll see Stadia wrapped, like the technology behind it, wrapped into something else soon.
It's unfortunate because people are losing their jobs over it, but I mean, just add this to the list of Google things that haven't taken off like they thought they would.
One more big tombstone for the graveyard, boys.
Dan, tell us about this one.
Sony Interactive Entertainment and San Diego Studios have announced MLB The Show 21 for PS5. And shockingly, Xbox Series, PS4, and Xbox One. It will launch on April 20th. Experience faster, deeper, and more intense moment-to-moment match action on the field with a variety of game modes for all you rookie players and returning season vets. And it looks like it will feature cross-platform play and cross-progression.
How cool is that?
It is very cool. It's going to be weird to see a Sony game on an Xbox. The show has been exclusive in its entirety for Sony. I think it's a smart move. It's such a great baseball game. I don't nearly spend as much time as I want to on it.
The deal. I'm getting the show 21 this year because the last show that I purchased was 17 and I want it on PS5. So I will be picking this up. I hope all of you will. And then we could do some sort of like franchise if that's able to be done.
Nope.
Okay. Sucks to be you.
Smoke weed every day.
This one here is short and sweet. Electronic Arts has announced the return of their college football games in a post on Twitter last week. Woo! No further information was revealed, but my God, I hope that means a new title is on track to release this summer. I really, really, really want this back.
I was hearing that it wouldn't be until maybe 2023.
God damn it.
Because they were talking about like, will college players get compensated for that?
Who did you hear that from?
I read it somewhere, on the internet, and everything you read on the internet is true.
No, I'm just kidding. Kyle, take this one.
Netflix has officially announced Sonic Prime, a new 3D animated series from Sega, Wild Brain, and Men of Action Entertainment. It will premiere sometime in 2022. The 24-episode animated adventure for kids, families, and longtime fans draws upon the keystones of the brand and features the blue blur of video game fame in a high-octane adventure where the fate of a strange new multiverse rests in his gloved hands. Sonic's adventure is about more than a race to save the universe. It's a journey of self-discovery and redemption. The series will be animated at Wild Brain's Vancouver studio, and Sega and Wild Brain will jointly participate across production, distribution, and licensing. Men of Action Entertainment, creators of Ben 10 and the characters and team in the Academy Award-winning feature Big Hero 6, have been brought on as showrunners and executive producers for the series. It's a heck of a team behind this show.
Yeah!
Netflix putting a lot of money behind it. This could actually be really cool.
Yeah. It could be.
Super excited for this.
My kids love Sonic. I'm sure this will be something I watch.
Yeah, for sure.
Sean, back to you.
PlayStation Now has added Detroit Become Human, Call of Duty Black Ops 3, Darksiders Genesis, Hotline Miami 2, Wrong Number, Little Nightmares, and WWE 2K Battlegrounds to their February update.
Hotline Miami 2. Wrong number.
I thought it was its own game.
Hey, all of you guys should play Little Nightmares before this week, by the way.
Yeah, if you have a sub to PlayStation Now, play Little Nightmares before Little Nightmares 2 releases this Thursday.
Oh, hot dog.
Indeed. Dan, tell us about Game Pass. Not to be outdone.
Microsoft has revealed a portion of their February lineup for Xbox Game Pass. Last Thursday, Ghost of a Tale was added for PC, Project Winter was added for console and PC, and The Falconeer was added for console and PC. This Thursday, Final Fantasy XII, The Zodiac Age, is being added to console and PC, as is Jurassic World Evolution on console and Stealth Inc. 2, A Game of Clones, on console.
Sean, Final Fantasy XII, The Zodiac Age.
Oh, yeah, I beat the Zodiac, yeah.
You got to sign up for Game Pass and play that on PC. Good one right there. The Zodiac Age is a great version of 12.
I think I would rather get into, is it 14?
Yeah.
On PlayStation?
Yeah. We'll talk about that one at the end. Yeah, we'll talk about that one at the end of the lightning round.
Has anybody played Ghost of Tale?
No, I haven't. I've looked into it, but I've not played it.
It looks interesting.
EA and BioWare have finally revealed that the Mass Effect Legendary Edition, which includes the original trilogy of games, will be available on May 14th for PS4. What is that noise for? Xbox One and PC. This collection features the single-player base content and 40-plus downloadable content, story, weapons, and armor packs from Mass Effect, Mass Effect 2, and Mass Effect 3. It looks like the most work went into improving the original game, but all three have been remastered, including the character models and tens of thousands of higher resolution textures, improvements to shaders and video effects, updated lighting, and improved dynamic shadows, volumetrics, and depth. We're at 8 minutes. It's cutting it close. We're not going to make it. Kyle,
I've never played Mass Effect.
Yeah, you
Sega
should.
And developer Creative Assembly have announced Total Warhammer 3 for PC. It'll launch sometime in late 2021. That's where I've been. Somebody go.
Total Warhammer 3. No, it's Total War. Warhammer 3. We're going to take more than 10 minutes today. We got a lot to talk about, so we can finish this one.
Okay. Far beyond the world and its petty wars, there exists a dimension of pure, malevolent magic, the realm of chaos. It is a terrible place, incomprehensible to the mortal mind. It's where all of the LDG crew lives. It whispers promises of power, but to behold it is to be seduced by it, to relinquish your soul to it, to become it, to live it, to breathe it.
So I'm not a huge fan of Warhammer. I'm not. I never have been. But I am a big fan of Total War because it's a strategy series that I've always been able to get behind. I know Warhammer is as well, but Total War, putting their spin on it, I'm intrigued by that because it's the same team, Creative Assembly. They've made all the Total War games. So I'm curious how this one's going to play. This might actually be the first Warhammer game that I actually pick up. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see how it ends up being. Sean, back to you.
During their latest conference call last week, EA reiterated their plans to release a new entry in the Battlefield franchise toward the end of 2021. EA states that the new game will be revealed sometime this spring and will mark the return to, quote, all-out military warfare, end quote. They also noted this new title will take advantage of the PS5's power to bring large-scale battles to life better than ever before.
Damn, you excited?
Shit.
You excited,
Dan? I got goosebumps listening to Sean read that. I'm super excited for this game.
You know what? If this is a return to form for like the old Battlefield games, this isn't something I could possibly pick up too because I loved the old Battlefields.
Yeah, we'll see what it ends up being. They are promising that they would go back to some roots. So we'll see. Dan, but since you already have a boner, tell us about Destiny 2's newest season.
Destiny 2's newest season, Season of the Chosen, will begin tomorrow and run through May 11th. Players will enjoy new strikes, earn new gear, fight for honor in the seasonal battleground activity, and take up the Hammer of Proving against the Cabal. With the pyramids and I don't know how to pronounce this.
Come on, you play Destiny 2. You should know how to pronounce this.
I haven't played Destiny 2 in a long time.
I'm guessing Zivu-Arath.
Sure, Zivu-Arath, destabilizing the systems. Empress, Katal.
Keitel? Something like Keitel? That? Yeah.
Leader of the Cabal and daughter of the Kallus seeks an alliance, but when
daughter
she demands
of the
more...
Don Kallus?
Daughter of Don Kallus.
But when she demands more than Zavala can offer, negotiations collapse, and the Guardians must become the tip of the spear that strikes at her growing war council. In Season 13, Guardians will jump into the Battlegrounds, a three-player match-made activity where they will engage in ritual combat against Kadial's Chosen Warriors. At the start of Season 13, the Devil's Lair and Fallen Saber Strikes will return from the original Destiny, which is awesome. Later in the season, the new Proving Grounds strike will unlock, pitting humanity's champions against the Cabal's best to determine the fate of the last city.
Hey, dog, who works at Bungie and is just naming this stuff?
Yeah, so I am not familiar. I'm familiar with Kallus. We took care of him in the first season of Destiny 2.
The Invisible Hand?
The invisible hand. I'm not familiar. I didn't really jump into this past season. It's a shame. It's just I got
season
tired
12.
Of...
You didn't play. You mean is that what you're saying?
What's that?
Season 12. You didn't play.
Not much. I played like the first few missions, and then I just didn't play. I know my brother-in-law begs me to keep playing because I just it's so hard. I get wrapped up in Destiny, and then I don't play anything else.
And then you just become a Destiny loser again.
Hey man, Destiny is a shit ton of it's a
what
great
he's
game.
Destined for.
It's what he's
Maybe
destined
that's what
to
I just
be.
Need to do. I just need to be a Destiny streamer and fuck everything else.
Just fuck everything exactly. Just start fucking it all, Dan.
Yeah, fuck it.
I don't think you got enough juice to hit all of it.
Probably not. I just need to quit my job. I'm quitting my job Monday and I'm becoming a full time content creator, whether my wife likes it or not.
Oh.
It's her fault anyway. You didn't get to quit.
Yeah.
Could have had that GameStop stock.
And the GameStop stock, man.
We're almost done here. Sean, you were just talking about it. Square Enix has officially revealed the next expansion coming for Final Fantasy XIV, this one titled Endwalker. It will launch this fall for PlayStation 5, PlayStation 4, and PC. Yes, the big news out of this as well, besides the expansion, is that Final Fantasy XIV is coming to PS5. I think the beta starts in April. And then after the beta, the game will officially release. They haven't said how long. It's an open beta, too. But they haven't said how long that'll run before they officially release the game. But I was just talking to Jessica. I think we're going to get into Final Fantasy 14.
Don't, Brian, don't.
I think we're going
with
to.
Me right now.
I
this.
Think we're going to, because this sounds really cool. Endwalker features the climax of the Hydaelian and Zodiac story, in which Warriors of Light will encounter an even greater calamity than ever before as they travel to the far reaches of Hydaelian, I think is how you say that, and even to the moon. In addition to bringing the long-running story arc that began with A Realm Reborn to its conclusion, Endwalker will mark a new beginning for the beloved MMO, setting the stage for new adventures that longtime fans and new players can enjoy together. The new expansion will bring an abundance of new features, including multiple new jobs, such as the Sage, which was the only one revealed so far, which is a healer, an increased level cap from 80 to 90, vast new areas to explore, such as Thavnair, I think. I probably typed that wrong. That looks like it was auto-corrected something. The Imperial capital of Garlemald, and even the moon. Upgrades to the battle system, and a whole lot more. I'm interested in this because they're ending the arc that, you know, they started with A Realm Reborn, and they're basically taking this and probably what, turning it into a different adventure from here. I'm curious to see what they're going to do after this expansion now.
Hey man, I'm all about it.
Yeah, me too. There goes your game challenge. You get into that, say goodbye to that.
Exactly.
Well, it's not that I would play it all the time. I've tried playing Final Fantasy 14 multiple times over the past few years, and I've never stuck with it. But I think it would be fun to play like with Jessica, Sean, if you wanted to jump in. Justin has a lot of free time right now. Justin would probably jump in. We could probably get a decent group put together. And I think that'd be fun to do like every now and then, because Final Fantasy 14, a lot of people have said it and I just have never gotten far enough to appreciate it. It's one of the better Final Fantasy games to ever release.
Oh, I bet. Yeah.
Which is why so many people are excited for 16, because it's the same team.
Ooh.
But Kyle, as usual, close us out with this delay.
Alrighty. one big delay this week, Ubisoft has announced that the remake of Prince of Persia, The Sands of Time, has been delayed to an unannounced date, leaving the game currently in limbo. This is now the second delay for the title, which was originally set to release back on January 21st before being delayed to March 18th. The developer cited fan feedback as the reason for this delay, giving the team more time to deliver a remake that feels fresh while remaining faithful to the original.
The game looks like crap.
Well, I wonder if that's why they did this. Remember, because we talked about it and like during Thunderdome where we just weren't that hyped on it. Like, we'd played it and, you know, the game is great, but it doesn't look like a remaster.
It doesn't.
It didn't look great.
It doesn't look great. I really have a feeling that they were way too into the remake and remaster train of things. Like, oh, people are going to love this. And then remember that it's...
They didn't put much work into it and they're like, fuck.
Yeah. But also, like, yes, it's a fun game, but it was a fun game 20 years ago. I'm not sure that this game holds up today.
Yeah,
I'm trying to think of a remaster game that I have jumped into, and then you jump into it and you're like, nope, this ain't hitting the notes that it was hitting like it was, you know, 15 years ago, 20 years ago.
Was Medieval on that?
Medieval was good, though. Like, I enjoyed Medieval.
I'm trying,
but
was it
hitting the same notes that it was when it first came out?
Probably the brown notes. The brown notes, probably not.
Brown notes.
That is, that was the end of the lightning round, by the way. We did it in 16 minutes. We took a couple extra minutes. That's not terrible. Not terrible. Not terrible. But I wanted to get through all that news, man. There was a lot.
Fat Sean Waltman, though.
There was a lot of stuff.
10 minutes. Wow, it takes 5 just to get him started, you know.
Takes 5 to get down to the ring. That's where the extra time came from.
That's Vince needs to bring back the WrestleMania ring that takes you down there for Sean Waltman.
Well, they used that at what, WrestleMania 3?
That was it.
Was that the only one?
I don't know, but I think that's the only time I've ever seen it.
Because 5 was in Atlantic City, as was 4, so they didn't use it there. 2 was split across 3 different cities. They didn't. 1 definitely didn't use it. 6 was in Toronto. They didn't. They might have used it in Toronto. They did. WrestleMania 6. I remember Hulk Hogan leaving on it after he lost. Yeah. So they used it in 6, and then I think that might have been it. So 3 and 6. But that music right there means it's time for a little new release roulette. But before we get to that, we do have to go over last week's Open Critic results. We started off with Yes 9. I guessed it would come in at an 84. Sean, you put 13 on that going dead on. You did it in Discord. You weren't on the show last week. You snuck them in there like Kyle did 2 weeks ago. 28 reviews for this one. 83, the official top critic average. So I was off by 1 on this one. Sorry.
Get her done.
Blue Fire was next. I guessed it would come in at an 81. Sean, you put 10 on this one going under. Dan, you bet it all. You put all 30 going under for Blue Fire. 6 reviews so far. Not a lot out there. Surprisingly low. 67 is the top critic average. So definitely under the 81 I thought it would come in at. Not scoring nearly as well as I think we talked about.
That's a shame.
I was going to say, I think we'll probably score this one at Level Down Games a little bit higher than the average. But that did earn you 20 points, Sean. And Dan, you earned 60 points, doubling your points, and basically cannot lose at this point. But that will take us to the Neo Collection, which I guess would come in at an 86. Sean, you put 7 on this one going over. 8 reviews. Guess what? You put all of it, the dead on the wrong one, because this one was an 86.
Son of a gun, dude.
Should have put it on Neo. But yeah, that means Dan with 60 points.
Dun, 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 dun.
You've taken it once again.
Congratulations, Dan! You're the Big Bad Booty Duty Champion of Level Down Games, and you get to give the closing remarks this week.
And the pick of the week. We didn't even do the pick of the week last week. We completely forgot. I reminded Dan, like, when we did, I think it was Hit Our Music this past week, but, like, we never even did the pick of the week. But he would have picked Blue Fire last week.
Correct.
We do know that. But that takes us to this week. We have 2 games releasing. It's not a hefty week in terms of new releases. The first one coming on Thursday to PC, PS4, Xbox One, and Nintendo Switch. We already mentioned it earlier on. It's Little Nightmares 2. Return to a world of charming horror in Little Nightmares 2, a suspense adventure game in which you play as Mono, a young boy trapped in a world that has been distorted by the humming transmission of a distant tower. With Six, the girl in the yellow raincoat, as his guide, Mono sets out to discover the secrets of the Signal Tower. Their journey won't be easy. Mono and Six will face a host of new threats from the terrible residents of this world. Will you dare to face this collection of new little nightmares? Kyle, are you buying this week?
There's a decent chance of it.
That's why you did the overtime.
It is something that I really want to play. I haven't played through the first one yet, but I know it's not super long.
I don't even know that you need to play through the first one to get the second one.
Well, like, no, but I want to.
No, of course. It's a great game. The first one's an awesome game.
Yeah.
And I expect this one will be too.
I'll probably play through it here. I know it's just a few hours long, and then I really might pick this one up. You know, I struggle with this because a game like this has a really high chance within the first year of like being included on PlayStation Plus or something.
Right. You never know. Correct.
So yeah, we'll see. I might pick this up.
I might too. I haven't quite decided yet. I know I ranked this one a little low on my Thunderdome list, but that's just because I was more excited for everything else on that list. I'm still excited for Little Nightmares too. I probably will pick this up. If not this week, relatively soon, because I do want to play through it. Another game I want to play through, the other game this week, game number two coming on Friday to Nintendo Switch, Super Mario 3D World plus Bowser's Fury. Pounce and climb through dozens of colorful courses. Mario and his friends can use a variety of power-ups like the Super Bell, which grants cat-like abilities like climbing and scratching. Team up with up to three other players locally or online to reach the goal and see who can get a high score. Free-roaming Super Mario gameplay makes a return in this brand-new adventure. Bowser has become gargantuan and lost all control. Explore Lake Lapcat and its islands, complete objectives to collect cat shines, and team up with Bowser Jr. to bring his big bad dad back to normal. Just watch out for Bowser's island-wide attacks. The Super Mario 3D World plus Bowser's Fury game features the same great co-op gameplay, creative levels, and power-ups as the original game, but with colorful rewards. You know, I do pretty well for reading these things as fast as I do. I do fuck up sometimes, though, Sean. In the Super Mario 3D World part of the game, characters move faster and the dash powers up more quickly. Both adventures support the newly added snapshot mode, pause the action to get the perfect shot, apply filters, and decorate with stamps. In Super Mario 3D World, choose from Mario, Luigi, Peach, and Toad and set off to save the Sprixie Kingdom. Each character has a distinct playstyle. Luigi can jump extra high, and Peach can float for a short time, sort of like Super Mario 2 or Mario Brothers 2. Rosalina is also available as a playable character. Or Smash, yeah. Later in the game, jump, dash, and pounce to reach the goal while collecting green stars, coins, and power-ups. Collect stamps throughout your adventure in Super Mario 3D World and use them in snapshot mode in both Super Mario 3D World and the Bowser's Fury adventure to create masterpieces to share with friends and family. And that brings us to Bowser's Fury, where Mario arrives on Lake Lapcat and is confronted with a rampaging Bowser. Join forces with Bowser Jr. and venture through an interconnected world made of cat-themed, well, everything. Enemies, flowers, and even birds take on a feline form. Need some extra assistance bringing Bowser out of his frenzied, furious state? Another player can take control of Bowser Jr. and help out by attacking enemies and storing power-ups. Two sets of claws are better than one. Yeah, I'm going to pick this up. Anybody else?
Yeah, I think once me and the wife beat Sackboy, maybe we'll jump in and stream this together.
Yeah, I think that'd be cool.
I think it'd be a lot of fun.
I think that would be cool.
What did you say, Sean?
He makes the same joke we make every time we talk about Sackboy.
Okay. Gotcha.
It's the same joke we make every single time. Kyle, are you picking this up? I know you played it. We both played through Mario 3D World, but it's a great game.
Yeah, I won't be picking this up probably.
Even for Bowser's Fury?
Nah. Yeah, it's like 3 or 4 hours of content. Not for $60, no, probably not.
All right, well, as usual, those are the games. Now, here are the scores. For Little Nightmares 2, I'm going to go with an 82. And for Super Mario 3D World plus Bowser's Fury, I'm going with a 91. While the guys get their bets figured out, let's jump to a preview of BG Mania, a video game music podcast. On the most recent episode of the show, we learned about the history of Trade West and listened to some tracks from games they either published or developed. Check it out. We've played a lot of Plock on the show here before, but never the title music. And I actually really like how this just sounds like some good old-fashioned rock and roll, thrown in obviously with the harmonica and stuff. You know what this actually reminds me of, this track here? It's actually almost spot on. If you're a fan of The Office, you'll know what I'm talking about. Remember back on the episode where Andy, Kevin, and Daryl are playing the blues in the warehouse during their lunch break, and Kevin keeps calling them Kevin and the Zits. favorites. Later on in that episode, remember Robert California crashes the party and invites a bunch of his friends to play as well, which included some recognizable faces and musicians at the time. The mad drummer Steve Moore, who was super popular in a YouTube video for his crazy drumming style, was brought in. They had guitarist Linda Taylor, Robin Swenson. They took over, basically, and the song that they begin to play after they did so sounds an awful lot like the title music from Plock. Brand new episodes of BG Mania are available every week. Come join us on this musical adventure.
I'm gonna make this real easy for you, homie. Okay. It's gonna be so simple. Okay. We're going five dead on for Little Nightmares.
Okay.
And 25 under for Mario.
Okay.
30 under Mario.
Okay.
Okay, let's go 29 under on Super Mario 3D World. And let's go one dead on for Little Nightmares.
What a loser.
Yeah.
I like that strat.
Yeah, why not?
You're still not,
I mean,
going to beat me, though. If we hit the same total,
he would if Little Nightmares goes dead on.
Here's the thing, Sean. I'm not worried about you. I'm worried about Kyle.
I have five on. I have five dead on Little Nightmares.
No, he's worried about Kyle.
Oh, but we did the same. Well, yeah. So you okay? Well, okay.
Well, no. Oh, but yeah, because you have five dead on. So yeah, regardless, Dan, you can't win.
Then I have to go 24. When I have to go 24 under on under, and then
24 and six. 24 and six. Yeah. 24 and six might work. Are you switching it to 24 and six, Dan?
Yeah, I guess I have to.
Shades of El Francaro coming back into 25 the and six or four.
I know. Dan game in the system. No, he's just trying. He's trying to make sure there's a winner.
I shouldn't have said anything, you know? Like
24 for under, 6 for dead on. Yeah, whatever. We'll see who wins.
Now I'm hoping that Super Mario goes over 91, just so we all look like a bunch of douchebags.
I'd be shocked.
Or is dead on, because none of you trust me that it's going to be dead on 91.
I don't trust you, because last week you missed it by one, dog.
But I still got one right with the Neo Collection.
I'd have had him.
Oh, man. Okay, also releasing this week, two more things. They both come out today, actually. Hoonie Pop 2, Double Date, I think that's coming out on PC. And Be Castled, also coming out on PC. There's a couple other smaller indie titles coming out this week, too. But those were the two that the SteamDB website seems that most people are looking forward to. So those are releasing today. That's going to bring us to the LDG Rumble. And I think we're going to kill this segment. I think we're going to stop doing it because nobody is really participating. And that's us included. I mean, you know, we really haven't been in, you know, doing it as much as we probably could have been. So we'll scrap this. We'll cancel that. We might replace it with something else. I don't know. It doesn't like we don't really need to. We don't really need to replace it with anything else. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. That's going to bring us to our main discussion for the episode today. And sort of like we did last week, I guess, talking about the Royal Rumble. By the time you're hearing this, it's not going to matter. But to us, it still matters because it's February 6th. It's Saturday. And we have yet to watch the Super Bowl. What are your guys' plans for tomorrow?
Well, this month is 10 years that I've been a vegetarian. So I want to preface that by saying my wife is making a buffalo cauliflower salad for us because I think if I just led with saying we're eating a buffalo cauliflower salad for the Super Bowl, that'd be pretty whack. But she's making a buffalo cauliflower salad in place of like buffalo wings, something
sure.
That I don't have anymore. But I love the Super Bowl, man. It's a fun culmination to the end of the year. I think I predicted these two teams before the season began. I think I said it kind of jokingly, like, oh wait, I can't wait to see, you know, the Kansas City Chiefs beat the Tom Brady Buccaneers, you know, in the Super Bowl. I think I said it as a joke at the beginning of the season, but here we are. But I do have a prediction. I think that Kansas City probably takes this 38-23. Kansas City is my prediction. I also, you know,
you think it's going to be that's far of like a difference between the scores? You think so?
I think 38 to 23. Yeah. Yep.
Okay.
Yep. Both teams have great defenses and great offenses. I'm not a huge Tom Brady fan as far as him as a player. I like him as a person. I don't think there's anything to hate about Tom Brady as a person. He's been a stand-up guy his entire tenure in the NFL. But he's won enough Super Bowls. I don't think he's the greatest quarterback of all time. I think he is a very good quarterback, but not the greatest of all time. And that argument, I think, has very little to stand on besides his Super Bowl rings. So that being said, I'm ready for the new face of the NFL.
I would beg to differ, sir. How dare you sully the name of Sir Thomas Bartholomew Brady Esquire?
I don't.
The guy went to a
team. Not only do I not think Tom Brady is the best quarterback of all time. I don't think he's the best quarterback of all time. I don't think he's in the top five quarterbacks playing in the NFL right now.
Well, of course not. But
is it Thomas Bartholomew Brady? Is that his actual name, Sean?
No. I say that because he is a gentleman and a scholar in my eyes. I used to hate Tom Brady, and then I realized it was just my own insecurities manifesting themselves in my sports opinion.
I like Tom Brady just fine. I just don't think he's the greatest quarterback of all time. I don't think there's an argument for that, personally.
Who done it for you?
I think Peyton Manning is probably the best quarterback of all time.
Oh, shut up, dog.
My wife would
agree.
I think
Chad Henne is the greatest quarterback of all time. Dog, Peyton Manning, look, he's a good quarterback, man. He's the general. Right,
he's a good quarterback. You just called Peyton Manning a good quarterback.
He's a good quarterback. He's got two rings.
He's got two rings with two different teams. He's the only quarterback to ever do that.
Yeah, well, Tom Brady's about to have seven rings with two different teams, homie. So what you got to stand for on that?
I really don't think that Tom Brady is a better quarterback than Peyton Manning. I also don't think he's better than Aaron Rodgers or Drew Brees, and probably not Russell Wilson.
Let me holler back at you for 1 second and say that Tom Brady was on the Patriots last year, got him to the playoffs. This year, they had a losing record. They weren't even 500.
That's true. Cam Newton was also their quarterback this year. So
Cam Newton's okay. But I think
overall, you had him on your fantasy team, Kyle. You had Cam Newton. You locked him up on the bench.
Overall, the team definitely fell apart without Tommy Boy there.
Well, I mean, the whole team kind of fell apart in the offseason. That was kind of part of the strategy of the Patriots going into this season. But Tom Brady also went to the team that had like the number one offense and the number three defense last year, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. To say that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and I keep seeing this meme go around, it's like Tom Brady just picked a team and decided to take them to the Super Bowl. No, Tom Brady went on one of the best teams of last year.
I will give you that, but the playmakers right now, it's a mixed bag on who was even on the team last year. You got Leonard Fournette running the best ball he's ever played in his life in the playoffs.
I wouldn't say the best ball he's ever played, but he's doing well.
You got Tampa Bay Buccaneers on there, just elevating the two tight end game because Cameron Brate's coming out swinging because you got Gronk on the other side. He wasn't on the team last year. And you know Gronk's going to ball out this Sunday because he's Tom Brady's safety net. So we'll see, dog. We'll see. You know what? This is going to be good.
Well, that's kind of my point is they took one of the best teams in the league last year. The Bucs were one of the best teams in the league last year. They just had Jameis Winston behind the ball throwing 30 interceptions all season.
That's real because that guy is a one-to-one, one touchdown per interception kind of guy.
Jameis Winston, he's the only quarterback to ever throw 30 and 30. But
yeah.
They had the number one offense in the league last year, top five defense in the league last year. They were a phenomenal team last year. And then added Leonard Fournette, Rob Gronkowski, and Tom Brady. So, I mean, it was already like going to happen. They've also got one of the, top three coaches in the league right now is Bruce, you know? And so I think that
Bruce's boy.
The writing was on the wall. I think it was bound to happen as long as all of them could stay healthy, and they did.
I would venture to say that every team that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers have played in the playoffs have been better than them, and they found a way to win. You throw three interceptions against Green Bay and still find a way to win. He threw them against Green Bay, right? Am I tripping?
Yeah, I believe that's right.
Yeah, you still find a way to win. That's impressive, right? You go into the Superdome, the Mercedes-Benz Superdome down there in New Orleans, and you beat the Saints on their turf. That's impressive. Considering
Drew Brees.
That they
Drew
lost
the Saints.
They Drew lost Brees to the Saints. They lost to the Saints twice this year. They're playing good football because they got a good quarterback. If Jameis Winston was on the Tampa Bay, they probably would have been the last seed in the playoffs, max. So it's Tom Brady is the deciding factor. If you put Winston back on the Bucs with even all the people they brought in and how great they were, they still wouldn't have beaten the Saints or Green Bay.
I agree with you. I think that Tom Brady is a very good quarterback. I would put Tom Brady in the top 10 of all time, but probably not the top 5.
Yeah, man, so, I just don't know.
So who do you have winning tomorrow, Sean? Who are you taking?
I got Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, man. And I think it's going to be a close game in the first half, and it's going to blow open the second half, man. I got it going probably 28 to 25 or something like that, right in that range. The spread is 3 points. The Chiefs are giving up 3 points, even though they're playing basically an away game. So really, you know, in the NFL betting world, you know, 3 points is like the home field advantage. So really, they should win by 6-ish or a touchdown. But I think it's going to be closer than that, man, because the game is going to be hard to kick in. So field goals are going to be tough because there's going to be rain and wind. Passing is going to be a little harder. So I think it's going to be a running game at first until people start getting the juices going. And we'll see, man. Call it now. Tyreek Hill going to get a touchdown. That dude is going to freaking light it up on a screen or something.
Who's the better passer, Patrick Mahomes or Tom Brady?
Brady.
Disagree. Oh. I think Mahomes.
Mahomes has a better deep ball and a sidearm, but his mobility is just as much important in his game. Okay. Tom is pure passing quarterback.
So who's got better mobility, Mahomes or Brady?
That doesn't mean you're a better passer.
I know. I'm talking about different things now.
Mahomes for sure. Well,
Mahomes does. But you're a Mahomie hopper, and so am I. I get it. But
which team has a better run game? Bucks or Chiefs?
Oh, Bucks. 100%
Bucks. Yeah, the Bucks, okay. Definitely.
And which team has a better receiver core?
I would venture to say Kansas City does.
I think Kansas City does too. And so I mean, for me, 3 out of the 4 go to Kansas City.
I don't know about receiving core because you take
receiving
Tyreek
core
Hill,
is tough. Chris Godwin.
You take Tyreek Hill out of Kansas City. Who did I mean?
Travis Kelce, baby.
Yeah, Kelce is the best tight end in the league, and maybe the best tight end to ever play the game. Maybe
Travis Kelce was the single reason why the Cleveland Browns lost.
The only reason why they
lost that game was because Travis Kelce can ball out, with Chad Henne at quarterback.
I'm going 41-38 Kansas City.
Dang, okay. Dude.
That's you're also taking Kansas City. Are you guys doing anything special for the Super Bowl, Dan?
We're going to make some, I think we usually make like chicken nachos and bacon
wrap. Some G Fuel lines.
Yeah.
Pre-set up the lines of G Fuel on the coffee table, Dan. That way, each time there's a touchdown, you could snort a line.
Spoiler alert,
sniff a line of G Fuel every time there's a field goal.
Oh, jeez.
Dan moved on to G Fuel enemas, so.
He likes, I thought we were going to do a stream of him shoving Twinkies up his ass. So now we're shoving G Fuel up there as well?
No, Swiss rolls.
Swiss rolls, that's right.
Ew, Twinkies?
That's even harder. Right.
Who puts Twinkies in their ass, Brian?
Yeah, exactly.
Sorry,
disgusting.
That's
not stupid.
I guess I was just confused.
That's disgusting, Brian.
It's Swiss rolls only. Get it right.
what's your plans for Super Bowl, Brian?
We are making a bunch of finger foods like we normally do. It's going to be myself, Jessica, her parents, and then her brother and his girlfriend. She's really the same crowd that we pretty much have for everything. That's pretty much like the family that we have at this point. That's like right here close to us. So and it's 6. So it stays under that, you know, CDC recommendation and all that, because they're saying like, don't go to Super Bowl parties this year again. It's a bunch of crap.
Listen, if nobody listened for Thanksgiving, nobody listened for Christmas.
They're not going to listen for the Super Bowl. Exactly. But I do think this is going to be a fun game. I think it's going to be relatively close. I was surprised that that you guys had pulled out. Sean, I think you picked a close one, or was it? No. Yeah, it was Sean.
It was like 3 points. Yeah.
38-23 Kansas City. That's mine.
Yeah. See, I don't think it's going to be that big of a difference. I think it will be a close game, but I think somehow Tom Brady will find a way to win his 7th title. I think that he will be able to kind of make some claims and maybe make some statements in this game, but I do see it being close. I'm going to go 31-27 bucks. But I think it should be good. I think it should be a good game.
Well, I'll have a disclaimer in there. Kyle usually beats me on Super Bowl picks. So,
well, I'm not going, I'm going like, I don't know. Like, I think Tom Brady really is going to be able to pull out all the stops in this game. And I think that he will try to solidify some things because, like, I mean, the whole conversation that you guys just had, it has been a conversation that everybody's been having, right? Yeah. And everybody's wondering if Brady, you know, is just if he can do it. And I think he can. I think the Bucs are playing some of the best football that they have been in a long time.
Well, and I think that's something that you can never forget about either is in the question, can Brady do it? The answer is almost always yes. Brady has the ability to do just about anything, which is, I think that's always been his biggest strength as a quarterback, is that he is so clutch. He does not get tilted in the middle of a game. If he has a bad first half, he goes to the locker room, he figures out the problem, he comes back out and he fixes it. And so if there is a strong showing from Kansas City in the first half of this game, expect a very, very hard fought second half. That's Tom Brady's specialty, is coming back and fixing the game. But I just think that the Kansas City squad is going to be too strong. It's going to be too big of a hurdle for old man Brady to jump this time.
I think he's got it, man. He's not going to throw to Honey Badger, so he's going to avoid whatever side of the field Matthew's on. He's probably going to pick on short routes and then open it up. He's gonna open it up probably after the short routes are getting defended well. And, you know, as far as the running game goes, they're going to rely on it early to establish the tone of the game, just like every other Brady game this season. It's fine. What I want to do is talk about silly prop bets. So sportingnews.com is reporting some of the more, interesting prop bets that are, out for the Super Bowl, such as the Super Bowl coin toss. So, of course, the odds are dead even, because it's a coin flip, right? But interesting to note, 6 of the past 7 Super Bowl coin tosses have been what? Tails, baby. Because it never fails.
I didn't know, actually.
Yeah. So, I mean, we'll see how that one comes up. I think it's going to be tails this Sunday. I don't know, guys. What do you got?
I genuinely couldn't care less what the coin flip is. I'm going to be honest.
I'm always intrigued to know what the coin flip is, but that's funny.
Maybe it's going to break the norm, Sean. It's going to be heads this year.
Oh, man. All right. We talk about, let's see here, which Anheuser-Busch brand commercial will air first?
Not Budweiser. They're not.
Budweiser's not in this year. So it's Bud Light plus 120, Bud Light Seltzer Lemonade plus 175, Michelob Ultra plus 175, and then Michelob Ultra Organic Seltzer plus 200. So that's the favorite, I guess. But
I think the standard Michelob Ultra will probably be first.
Yeah.
That's my guess. I am curious, kind of speaking on the commercials there, I am definitely interested to see. I've seen some of them obviously that came out already, but I'm curious to see the ones that we haven't seen and how the commercials will be. They have not been nearly as strong in more recent years than they have been in some of the prior years. So hopefully this can be a return to form for good commercials. But I think a lot of things are going to be, centered on the pandemic, because that's just what I think they're going
to
do.
Supposed to be some dog coin commercial. I'm hoping it does. So my dog coin takes off.
There you go.
The Dogecoin, whatever it is.
The Dogecoin.
I got some shares in it. I'm hoping it's already at 5 cents right now. Last time I looked.
Dan's going to be a millionaire one day when it gets up to a couple hundred shares per coin.
Yeah, man. We're at 5 cents.
Speaking of the Doge, how many commercials will have a dog in them? Over 4.5 is minus 250. Under 4.5 plus 170. So
a lot of dogs. There's a lot of dogs.
Dogs equal happiness, man.
Yeah,
there's
going to be a lot of dogs. There's going to be a lot of dogs. Is there anything on the Super Bowl, Sean? Any prop bets? Jessica's looking for. Oh, not Super Bowl. The halftime show. Jessica's really looking forward to watching the weekend in the halftime show.
Talk about hitting a gold mine. This guy got featured for WrestleMania last year. Yeah. Now the Super Bowl this year. I mean, what's he going to do? The Westminster Dog Show next year?
I mean, his career is just exploded more recently, and good for him. His music is really catchy. And
it's because everybody loves The Weeknd. I mean,
he had a huge album last year. Let's not forget just how big that album was for 2020.
Yeah. Nothing on the halftime show that I can see, but You know, one of the funniest ones here, will the word burger be said by Andy Reid at any point during the broadcast? So that one, no.
How can these prop bets be so like, oh my God, because like, you know, Andy Reid could just be looking on a website and be like, there's bets if I'm going to say the word burger. Should I say it or not? Like, what the fuck?
you gotta factor that into the bet.
Yeah.
Is Andy Reid scrolling the prop bet website?
I doubt it.
I don't know, man. I don't know. You know, what color of liquid will be poured on the winning coach?
Blue.
You know, you got orange plus 110, red or pink plus 300, yellow, lime, or green is plus 450. Blue plus 500, clear plus 600, and then purple plus 900. So, I mean, it's apparently orange is the top. That's why it's the favorite, and it's only getting 110 because it's been the last couple of years, you know, five oranges have been poured, I guess, in recent memory. So you never know, man. The Gatorade shower has even got a prop bet. But yeah, man, Super Bowl, crazy time.
Super Bowl weekend.
Take a quick plug real quick. If you're interested in the Super Bowl at all, next week on the Media Files, Dan and I will be sitting down and covering the Super Bowl, everything that happened in the game, the halftime
show,
the commercials, everything next week on the Media Files.
You and Dan,
Friday.
Huh?
Well, this week, this Friday, I guess.
Yeah, this week.
From the time you're listening to it.
Well, I guess we should probably stop talking about it then, and then that way everybody else can tune in this Friday for an all-new episode of the Media Files, and Dan, you'll actually be on the show. How about that?
I will. I think it's my third appearance on the show.
How about that? I think you are you're sitting just behind Lindsay as the most featured special guest.
I mean, it's smart. When you put all your stocks in Crazed,
when you
it's
put
smart.
Your stocks in the Crazed 11 brand, expect to be bankrupt in the next day.
That's true. Hey, just a quick disclaimer, NFL can't sue us for this because we're not actually saying the term of the game. We're saying Super Bowl, and it's you got an E in there, so you can't sue us for the trademark.
Well, you can't say Super Bowl?
No, it's trademarked.
No.
No, you can't advertise Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Pretty sure we could say the word Super Bowl. I mean, let's not.
I can say whatever the hell I want.
Let's not get that crazy.
It's my First Amendment right.
That music right there means it's time for a little kickstart my heart to close out the show before we get to the end. And this week, we've got a game inspired by Stardew Valley, Sean, a game we talked about a little earlier. Slime Rancher, Grandia was listed, and beloved classics like Harvest Moon and Pokemon. The name of the game is Ova Magica, and the studio, Claudia the Dev, is currently looking to bring it to all major platforms, including PC, Nintendo Switch, Xbox Series, Xbox One, PS4, and PS5. Ova Magica is a single-player game combining the farming and monster-taming genre with life sim elements. When your mother has to move abroad for work, you end up moving back to her sleepy childhood town of Clover. Soon after, you're entrusted with an overgrown piece of land by the townsfolk, and it's up to you to turn it into the farm of your dreams. You can grow everything from normal crops, berry bushes, and fruit trees to heart fruit, weird herbs, and mushrooms from other dimensions. From your harvest, you can cook high-quality food for your blobs to help them grow healthy and strong, or alternatively, test your skills as a trader and sell them on the local market in Clovertown. Be sure to treat the environment well. A good farm exists in equilibrium with nature. If you're too greedy, you might find it hard to find resources in the future if all the forests are gone and the bushes have dried up. It looks like there's apparently something called blobs. Let's see here. Blobs are mysterious, cute, round creatures that hatch from eggs. They come in many colors and shapes and can be of the forest, storm, or magma type. Okay, so here's where the Pokemon elements are coming in. In the world of Ova Magica, people live side by side with these cute creatures, and you can raise them to be strong, loyal friends and sidekicks. Not long after arriving in Clovertown, you're invited to the local Blob League and given your choice of the three types to take home. Ova Magica encourages you to take good care of not just your surroundings, but other creatures too. To make your blob stronger, you need to feed them well and give them lots of love, pay attention to their favorite foods, and play with them often to deepen your bond. Your blobs also have abilities they can use outside of battle. They help you with many everyday tasks like farming, mining, catching bugs, fishing, and more. There might also be certain special crops that can only be grown with the help of your blobs, too. Looks like they can perform scheduled tasks to increase productivity. Okay, a lot of information about the blobs here. Okay, look, there's romance for people like Jessica. For people, I like romance too. There are 13 different characters that you can befriend. Each has their own personality, story, and unique routines. God, this game, it looks so good. Just look at all these GIFs and graphics. You can also choose to play as either a boy or a girl, and all options are open to you. Through conversations, gifts, and blob battles, you can increase your friendship. This will also unlock numerous events and quests that will let you get to know the characters better. Obviously, that can lead to romantic activities. Looks like there's no limitations on who you can and cannot romance in terms of, like, gender restrictions. So, like,
you can play field or something?
It seems like everything is open. Like, you can pretty much date anyone that you want to that's available of these 13 choices. It's not locked in guys to girls and girls to guys. You can pick anyone. It says there are no limits to love in Ova Magica. Whatever your preference, Ova Magica will give you equal importance. So that's cool.
Is there Pauly in the game?
I don't think Pauly's here. And that's probably a good thing, Sean, because you didn't like Pauly, and you didn't like my time at Portia. But I think there's a lot to like here in Ova Magica. As we come to the activity section, just look at these. Look at that fucking Halloween setting, dude. Like, oh my God, this looks cool. So you can work on your fishing skills, catch some bugs, mine some ore to build a few parts for your juicing machine. Or perhaps you'd like to pop by the Blob League to get the latest news on the latest tournaments. The people of Clovertown love to celebrate and get together. Every season, the townsfolk hold several unique festivals, ranging from the Spooky Moon Festival, which I think is obviously what we're seeing there, on the night wild blobs roam through town, and the Home Tree Festival, dedicated to the nature of Clover Valley. The beauty and environment of Clover deserve to be protected, and festival events like this are a way you can pitch in. Why not take part and see who you'll get to know? Even more, perhaps, if you help them prepare and set up for the festival, the mayor might even reward you. Kyle, what are you thinking on this? You were a fan of Portia. You're looking forward to my time at Sandrock. What do you think on Ova Magica?
I think it looks good. I mean, I think it fixes a lot of the issues that we would probably have with Portia or a Portia-type game. But, you know, the Slime Rancher meets Stardew Valley thing is always really interesting. I like farming sims. I like these kind of, you know, fun, cute little games. This is something I could probably get into.
Yeah, there's a lot of information here that, you know, it talks about the crafting that you'll be able to do, like the community that aspects that are in the game with other NPCs. I this is a single player game, so I don't doesn't look like there's going to be any multiplayer elements. I wonder if, Sean, I know that would be big for you. I wonder if that's something that they might look into in the future, because the game has exploded in terms of, like, actual funding, and looking at their stretch goals, like, multiplayer hasn't popped up yet. I wonder if that will.
Average pledge, $83.30.
That's pretty good.
It's pretty good.
That's really good.
Sitting at $170,000, almost $700.
Yeah, it's climbed up like $2,000 since we started recording this episode.
It's insane. Like, that's the most support I've seen in a while on a game that we've highlighted. And I would venture to say, like, some of the games we've highlighted were deserving of that kind of support.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And there's still 19 days to go as the time we're recording. There's still plenty of time for this game to keep racking up the support and keep opening up stretch goals. We've already unlocked, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Marriage, character customization, play with your blobs, additional blob world, Clovertown Museum. I wonder if that's going to be something like the Animal Crossing New Horizons Museum, where you can donate things to it, maybe. I don't know. A pool area and swimsuit outfits, expand your house, and a beauty salon. And it looks like the next one we're going to open up roughly around $180,000, so less than 10,000 to go, will be a blob encyclopedia. So that's kind of cool. But yeah, there's just a lot of cool looking things going on in this game here. The combat is very reminiscent of Pokemon, but instead of just one at a time, you can have, you know, multiple blobs on the screen, but it is turn-based, so that's really cool.
Get some Temtem vibes on that.
Temtem for sure. Yeah, I can definitely see a lot of similarities to Temtem as well. Dan, what are you thinking on this?
I mean, it looks cool. It's something that I would definitely play. I don't know if I'm going to pledge just because, like, I do want to get back into, like, Stardew Valley and, like, games like that. And I don't know if I have time for two games like that.
Especially
that would
with
be
Call of Duty coming out.
Well, yeah, I mean, right.
And the Battlefield
Call of Duty,
coming out.
That little Destiny season, whatever, 100, you know, I mean,
season
it's just
100.
It's, yeah. But it looks awesome. It's got a lot of parts to a lot of games that I enjoy. So I'd love to pledge. I just don't know if I'd have time to play it.
Well, looking through the tier list, it looks like the cheapest point to jump in at this point would be $25. Just missed out on the early bird. It was still available when we started the podcast. No longer available. So $25 would be the cheapest jump in point, which will get you a digital copy of the game on your platform of choice, exclusive backer, Discord role, and email updates. And it looks like they're shooting to have the game release sometime in May of next year, so not too far away. I'm going to for sure keep an eye on this, because I think there is just a lot to appreciate here, and I think this could be a really, really big game.
Definitely one to keep an eye on, for sure.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. This one's definitely going to, you know, garner some attention when it releases, and I'm sure we'll talk about it again when it does. But that, my friends, is going to bring us to the close of the show this week. Wow. Final words, they go to Dan once again, except this time, Dan, you finally earned it.
Oh, we finally did earn it. I'm on the 3 closing quote, whatever streak. I'm going to use another Gary
Oh my
v
God,
quote.
We're going to get more Gary V. Three weeks in a row of Gary V. I think I'm getting sick of Gary V.
No, you shouldn't get sick of Gary V. You should not. And we will close it. The show with this right here. Your focus on hating yesterday is killing your opportunity to love tomorrow.
This episode of the Level Down Games podcast has been brought to you by leveldowngames.com. Please remember to leave us a rating and a review regardless of where you're listening. If you want more of us, check out youtube.com/leveldowngames and make sure you subscribe with notifications on, as well as twitch.tv/leveldowngames, again, with notifications on. Links to where we can be found on social media, as well as to our Discord server, and all other important information can be found in the show notes for the episode.